Well, good morning. I'm no longer mute, so that's helpful. And we want to especially thank our Light Shine Choir. This was Blair's maiden voyage with our Light Shine Youth Choir, and so we thank Blair and Ginger for their leadership with our junior high and senior high, and it's a great thing. You are a symbol of hope, and so we are so grateful for your devotion and your willingness to be here today. And Dayton, man, where are you? You rocked. So thank you. If you happen to be a visitor today, you may not know that this congregation prayed faithfully for weeks, years for Dayton as he is our hero, courageously beat leukemia. And so Dayton, just know how much we continue to love you and pray for you, and we're so, so proud of you. So that verse that you sang is truly that you said is very much your story, that you heard God's call on your life and you were faithful to that. So we love you. As we turn to the Gospel of Luke, I encourage you to open your Bibles to page 836. This is continuing in the narrative lectionary as we look at who Jesus is for us, especially paying attention to how Jesus treats others and challenges them. So I invite you to read along with me from chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little way from the shore. And then he sat down and he taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and they followed him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for this day, a day that you have created for us to come and to be faithful to your call to us, to indeed follow you. So help us, God, to hear your voice. The words that I offer, may they truly be blessed by your Spirit. May they make a difference in our journey of faith as we travel with you. We pray this in the precious name of the one whom loves us and whom we love, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, you may recall, I believe it was probably at least 10 years ago, that we hosted the African Children's Choir. They have also sung in other churches here in the Cedar Valley. And as I witnessed those young children singing about their future, one of the exercises that they do every time they have a concert is they have probably about 20 of the children come up to the microphone and they say what they want to be when they grow up. And so you hear all of those typical answers: a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, a principal, a garbage man, a firefighter. And there's maybe a few that say a pastor, and of course, those of us that are pastors are pretty excited about that. It's amazing that we ask that question, right, of our children, of our youth, high schoolers. What do you want to be when you grow up? But I think even more importantly is for those of us who are adults to think about, what do we want to be when we grow up? Who do we want to be? What in our lives do we claim as the most important part of who we are each and every day? It's amazing to me that Jesus, in this narrative with his disciples, is basically asking them, challenging them, who is it that you will be? What or who will you follow in your life? This story in the Gospel of Luke, one in which we see this miracle occur and this call upon the disciples, is one that challenges all of us to really consider, what is it about our lives that's different? What is it about our journey that has changed as we have matured in our faith? For those that grew up in the church and perhaps went through confirmation or baptism classes or CCD, whatever your tradition may have been, who are you today that's different from who you were years ago, or even months ago, or even days ago? How do we continue to be obedient to this call upon our lives? How do we continue to be courageous to a call upon our lives when it might be easier to just be who we used to be and who we know pretty well, instead of inviting and embracing this possibility of change, of maturing into the one that God has called us to be? Our wonderful women of Westminster on Wednesday nights have been going through a curriculum called The Ridiculous Journey. Sounds kind of ridiculous, right? To have a Sunday school or a Bible study called The Ridiculous Journey. But the basis and the point of this curriculum is that if we truly claim to follow Christ as our Savior, as the one whom we dedicate our lives, we very well may be perceived as being ridiculous. Because to follow this homeless man from Nazareth, one who could encourage those around him to be different, it might seem ridiculous, unlike the world around us. But each week we're examining, what does it really mean for us to be loved with that kind of radical love that loves us even when we don't do the things we're supposed to do or follow Christ's example to us? That's what this journey, it takes. It takes courage to overcome the fear. Think about Simon Peter in this story. His reaction when the boat is overloaded is that he has committed this sin of doubt and not believing that indeed Christ had the power to make all of those fish come into the nets. Do we ever, like Peter, fall into that trap? Dayton possibly, it's not possible for Dayton to be healed of cancer. It's not possible for my marriage to actually survive. It's not possible that I'll find the right college to go to. It's not possible for our country to ever be what it used to be. It's not possible for this world to be a place of peace, because we become cynical like the world around us. We become cynical like the leaders that we hear, sometimes even the pastors that we hear. Because we get beaten down, right, during the week, we think this world, it couldn't be more faithful. We couldn't fill the pews. We couldn't invite more people to follow us because it's too hard. It's too much work. It takes too much money. It takes too much of our leisure time. We don't want to give up our hobbies to imagine what this world could look like if we could be more passionate and more devoted to this call upon our lives. Yesterday, we had the joy of going to our elder training. Now, you may think, that doesn't sound like a great joy, Pastor, to spend your Saturday in Iowa Falls in elder training. But I have to tell you that of all of the events through the year, it's a time that I just love to connect and to see people, volunteers, their time and their passion to go and to sit under others' training. Yesterday, after the training was over, I was talking to another pastor, and we were just kind of sharing our joy and that we had had this time together. And he said, you know, one of the elders that came with me today was our cable guy who came into the office to work on our cable connection. And the pastor, going out of the comfort zone, right, even we pastors have our boxes that we live in, said, do you go to church anywhere? And the cable guy said, no, actually I don't. My wife and I, we've been talking about perhaps the need to find a church. And so the pastor said, well, our services start at 10 o'clock. I hope you'll come this Sunday. And he admitted he didn't really think that the cable guy would come. But guess what? That Sunday, the cable guy came and his wife. And now, 4 years later, that cable guy is an elder at Northminster Presbyterian Church in Ames. We don't know what's possible until we are obedient to this call of God upon our lives, to look at our own heart, say, how excited am I to be a member of Westminster Presbyterian Church? Where in all of my priorities does it fall? And even more importantly, how passionate am I to be a disciple of Christ? And I want others to know that kind of passion. It's an invitation that God extends to us to follow him. And then we, like Peter and the disciples, go out. Now you might be sitting there saying, I'm not ready to give up my job and my 401k and my nice house and my nice car. Each one of us has to go down that road of reflection and decide what's really important to me. There's an amazing quote. It says, you don't have to leave your job to be a disciple of Christ. You have to leave your fear. You don't have to leave your job or your home, your family. Maybe eventually you may make some decisions. Today, what I want you to leave here is the fear of living a life totally dependent on God. To have that kind of passionate faith. That's the invitation to us. Peter Drucker, in his book, if you want something new, you have to stop doing something old. If you want something new, you have to stop doing something old. The cynicism, the negativity, the can'ts and the won'ts turn into the positives, the compassion, the love that is available through Christ. I remember as a child the story of go fish, right? Go and find more people. And somehow in my kindergarten mind, I associated that story with the game go fish. It was one of the favorite things that I loved to do with my siblings and my parents. I should probably thank them for how many hours they spent playing go fish with me. And we played that game so often that I can still see the pictures of the matches in that game. There was Nancy, the nurse, and Dan, the farmer. There was that sense of great joy when you had a match, right? So as we leave here today and we go out following Christ and fishing for those people, remember that there is a match for you. His name is Jesus. Jesus believes in your potential, believes in all that your life can be, and believes in all that this church can be. I pray with all of my heart that next Sunday you will attend the congregational meeting, because friends, we've got some big decisions to make. If we're truly going to be the church, if we're going to follow Christ, we've got to take our role as a disciple seriously and with a lot more compassion than we do. So be prayerful this week. Think about your role in the future of Westminster. Think about what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Know that this faith community, it's a gift, and we need to embrace it and build it and believe in it. Amen and amen. As you consider your role in the future as a disciple of Christ, I invite you to stand and to sing these words of invitation to follow the call of God upon your life. Let us stand and sing.